There's no need to act surprised at this point. It really isn't. It's not. No Ja Morant, no Desmond Bane, no Jaren Jackson Jr., no John Conchar. Seven guys out. Jimmy Butler back for his second game with the Miami Heat. Didn't matter. Grizzlies pick up one of their most impressive wins of the season. You know we got to talk about it right here, right now, coming up on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies, your premier podcast for all thing Memphis Grizzlies out here. I want to thank you for tuning in because we got a lot to talk about. The Grizzlies just had one of their most impressive wins of the NBA season, down seven guys. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. are going to be your top three players down as well. A lot of rookies getting playing times. And Memphis still, not only did they beat the Heat, they dominated, you know, in the fourth quarter of this game, holding the Heat to 16 points in that last quarter. Great defensive performance overall. A lot of players stepped up. We're going to talk about all of that and more, you know, in this episode because it was a lot of great takeaways from this game. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Remember, first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Use the promo code Locked On to receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100. Well, before we get to what happened in the game, we're going to talk about the guys that were on the bench in their nice jogging suits and their nice, you know, designer outfits and whatnot. There were seven Grizzlies players out in this game. And there were, I think, 10, 11. I got it right here in front of me. Let me see. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, there were 10 guys available for the Grizzlies in this game. 10 guys, exactly. Yeah, seven guys out, 10 guys available. So it felt close to even in terms of players available and players not available. But there's a lot of information that I can relate to you about some of those guys that were inactive. And we'll start, you know, with some of the best news. And the best news is the latest on Ja, Jaren, and John Conchar. I feel pretty confident in saying Wednesday against Oklahoma City Thunder, those guys will be good to go. Ja Morant, again, left ankle soreness, kind of set this one out. Jaren Jackson Jr., it's the injury management. This is the second time Jaren Jackson Jr. has missed the second night of a back-to-back. Talking to Taylor Jenkins before the game, he told me that this should be the last time. I mean, he said probably. That was his exact words. He said this is probably the last time that Jaren Jackson Jr. will miss one of the legs of a back-to-back, you know, when he's pretty healthy. So he's getting closer to 100% in terms of not just being healthy, but just being available 100% of the games. John Conchar as well, you know, missed this game due to some soreness as well. So John Conchar, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., all should be good to go Wednesday with no problem. Moving on to another guy who was listed as doubtful in this game, and that was Zaire Williams. So Taylor Jenkins actually had a lot to say about Zaire Williams before the game. The first thing is, you know, his status for Wednesday isn't as clear as those other guys. Remember, just like those guys, he was listed as doubtful, but it's a bit of a different situation. You know, there's more conditioning things that Zaire Williams has to go through and all of that. But I will say that I'd be very surprised if Zaire Williams is not back on his homestand. I'd be very surprised if he's not back in, you know, sometime next week at the latest. But the Grizzlies have a game Wednesday. They have a game Friday. and then get a couple days off on Monday. If I was a guessing man, I'd say, oh, he'd be back probably Monday. But there's a possibility that he could come back Friday as well. Even Wednesday, he's going to be listed on the injury report ahead of Wednesday's action as well. But Zaire Williams, they've really taken their time with him in this patellar tendonitis thing. You got to remember, at Media Day, this was a guy, a lot of the conversation when we were talking to Zaire Williams at Media Day was about, is he possibly still growing? A guy at his height, 6'8", you know, long legs and things like that, you know, knee problems can be a thing. And Taylor Jenkins kind of talked about how, you know, the patellar tendonitis is something that they want to nip in the bud and they don't want to flare up again. This is, it said he kind of had some, you know, knee soreness things going on last season as well. And, you know, came back this season. Not only did he come back this season, but he was a very big part of Summer League. As we saw, you know, the Grizzlies put him on the ball a lot. He had a heavy usage in Summer League. So factor in all of that, you know, this time, this offloading, as you know, Taylor Jenkins likes to call it, this was a lot of time to finally get Zaire Williams to rest on off of that knee, get some downtime. And quite frankly, he's very close. He's really close to being ready to play. Actually, on yesterday, he went down to the Memphis Hustles to participate in their practice. And so, again, more five-on-five action, more action against contact. He's getting very, very close. I think the Grizzlies, you know, they took today off. So today off, they're going to have a game on tomorrow. And then on Thursday, they'll probably potentially practice, you know, over the weekend as well when they have those 2 days in between the games from Friday to Monday. And that's when we'll get a better indication of, you know, when he'll be ready to go. But at the end of the day, Zaire Williams is very close. I think you can start to prepare yourself for the return and what it'll mean for the Grizzlies. I think, you know, this is a big piece, you know, to the bench. This is a big depth piece overall. This is a guy who can step in the starting lineup in a pinch, as we saw last season during some of the Grizzlies' biggest winning stretches. So, Zaire Williams, huge piece, close to being back. Then there's the other guys, Desmond Bane, Jake LaRavia in particular. I think with Desmond Bane, it's pretty much the same as we've been saying, you know, over the last week. We'll get an update later this week on his status potentially. I'm thinking, you know, before Wednesday or before Friday's game. And once we get that update, we'll relay that to you as well. That update will be, you know, about him being reevaluated. The Grizzlies then will let us know a more firm timeline on when he can return again. So if you read my story on commercialappeal.com where I spoke to a prominent foot doctor, Kenneth Jung, out in L.A., he really spoke to me in depth about why and how, you know, this thing could take a little bit longer than people may have expected. And that's what we're seeing so far. So if you haven't checked out that story, go check it out on commercialappeal.com and you can get more kind of an idea of why, you know, the Grizzlies are taking their time with this Desmond Bane situation. And they're being very careful because this is something, you know, quite frankly, you don't want to creep up over the course of the season. Jake LaRavia, don't have much of an update there, but I will say, three consecutive games, I believe it is, that he's been listed as doubtful. Usually that's a sign that there is more going on there. It's foot soreness is what it's being called. So we'll learn more on his status, you know, ahead of Wednesday's game. And then after Wednesday's game as well, Jake LaRavia started the season off shooting very well and then kind of fell back a little bit. You know, hasn't shot the ball up as well of late. And then David Roddy is kind of, you know, I guess – moved ahead of him, you know, in that pack between the two rookie guys battling for those wing minutes there. But overall, Jake LaRavia, we'll find out more again on that and that front. And then there's nothing new, of course, on Danny Green outside of the typical, you know, still getting returning from injury towards ACL, you know, in the playoffs. So still should be a decent amount of time before he gets back as well. But that's your latest on pretty much all the Grizzlies players who were out, you know, in this past game against the Miami Heat. I think at the end of the day, Ja, Jaren, and John Conchar will for sure be back. And again, just with Ja Morant, saw him warming up. I don't know if this is an indication that he's going to switch back to the low-top shoes, but he was warming up ahead of the Miami Heat game wearing low-top Kobe 6 sneakers. That is relevant because We've seen him since he returned from the left ankle injury. He's worn high top sneakers. Before that, all season long, he's worn low top sneakers. Not saying that it's, you know, kind of a big impact on his performance or anything, but it is a comfortability thing. And I think if he goes back to high tops, I mean, goes back to the low top sneakers, it is an indication that the Grizzlies and Ja himself are getting comfortable, you know, with what he can do on that left ankle without dealing with, you know, the soreness and things like that. So next up, we're going to talk about the game. We talked about all the players that were out. We got to talk about the players we're in, but we're going to focus on two guys in particular that had really big nights. But before we get to that, I got to talk to you about Prize Picks, because the thing about Prize Picks is you don't have to make all these in-game, you know, wagers and things like that. All you have to do with Prize Picks is you can pick 2 to 6 players. Say, hey, I think Steven Adams is going to score more than 8 points. I think Ja Morant is going to get more than 5 assists. I think Dylan Brooks is going to score less than 20 points. And you make 2 to 6 projections based on the players, and you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. Again, 25 times your money on any entry. That's not chump change, by the way. And look, you're not competing against other people here. When you're talking about Prize Picks, it's you versus the projections. Prize Picks offers you projections on all sports. That's any sports that you watch. We're talking about the NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, golf, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports. Look, at the end of the day, wherever, MMA, boxing, Prize Picks has those projections available for you. And remember, entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that simple. And you get safe and fast withdrawals. Prize Picks is extending, you know, its usage for more than 30 states and Canada. Remember, you can use Prize Picks in more than 30 states and in Canada. This is one of the states, by the way. If you are in Tennessee, you can use Prize Picks in Tennessee as well. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. If you're a first-time user, remember, you get a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, guess what? It means you'll get $100 back. If you deposit $50, you can get $50 back if you are a first-time user. So, again, don't forget the promo code Locked On, and you can download the Prize Pick app or go to prizepicks.com to participate. Speaking of participation, the Grizzlies had 9 players of 10 active guys participate in this game against the Miami Heat, and all of those guys showed out. All them guys showed out. I think the Grizzlies just had a big performance. I like to say when I watch these games, the Grizzlies, they were underdogs, and the line was moving. I think it finished somewhere around the Grizzlies were 4.5, 5.5 point underdogs. But my thing is, they weren't underdogs to me, because we've seen time and time again. I like to say the Grizzlies, when they're in these situations, when there's no Ja, no Jaren, no, you know, Desmond Bane, you know, you got the guys on the court who have bills to pay. You got guys like Xavier Tillman saying, look, I'm trying to get another NBA contract. You got guys like Vince Williams Jr. and you know, Kennedy Chandler. They're trying to prove a point. They're trying to prove I belong here. These dudes got bills to pay. They're trying to make some money. Those guys that were out, Ja, Des, you know, John Conchar, those guys got their extensions. They're locked in for the foreseeable future. You had guys on the court that were trying to pay bills, and we saw that. That's exactly what we saw. We saw Kennedy Chandler battling with Jimmy Butler on the ground for a loose ball. We saw Santi Aldama, you know, basically diving into the front row, throwing a basketball just in the air, you know, as he was falling out of bounds. And we saw all type of hustle plays from this Grizzlies team. It was impressive to watch. Memphis ended this game with 10 steals against the Miami Heat. It was a lot of feistiness. I think every player that came off the bench had a steal, at least. I think it was 7 players overall finished with a steal, 2 from Tyus Jones, 1 from Santi, 1 from Dylan, and then you mentioned 2 from Kenny Chandler off the bench, 1 from Brandon Clark, 1 from Vince Williams as well. And, I mean, It was just a all around night of effectiveness from this team, a collective effort, 101-93 win. And not only that, you know, we talked about the defense having bills to pay. How about holding the Miami Heat to 39% shooting from the field? And this wasn't just one quarter of work. This was pretty much throughout the game. They were scrappy. They were tough. They weren't letting Miami get much of anything. Tyler Hero was the high scorer for Miami. He had 23 points, but it took him 20 shots to do it. 18 of 20 shooting from the field. Jimmy Butler, he shot 6 of 11, had 18 points and 8 assists. But they were hounding him as well. The Grizzlies did a good job of just showing him bodies and just making sure he didn't get comfortable. But you know who was comfortable in this game? It's Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones is the highest paid backup point guard in the NBA for a reason. And I saw someone, I made a post about this on Twitter yesterday, and someone commented on it and was like, actually, it's Russell Westbrook. He's the highest paid backup point guard in the NBA. Well, no, duh. That's if you're being too technical. When I'm talking about the highest paid backup point guard in the NBA, we're talking about a guy who at the time when he signed his contract, it was known that he was going to be a backup point guard, and the Grizzlies paid him to be that. Russell Westbrook, that contract that he's on, he was paid that contract as a maximum contract type of player who is an all-star in this league. Tyus got his money, expected to be, you know, a backup point guard in the NBA. But anyways, Tyus Jones, I mean, he was terrific. And what I liked about his performance, it wasn't just the 28 points, 10 assists, 10 of 16 shooting. It was just the consistency throughout the game. He didn't, you know, this 28 points didn't come off Tyus Jones scoring 18 points in one quarter or 15 points in one quarter and disappearing for two other quarters and things like that. No, Tyus Jones, I think he had 9 points in the first quarter. Then he had 8 points in the second quarter. Then he had another, I think, 9 points in the third quarter. Didn't do too much scoring in the fourth quarter, but like I said, the Grizzlies held Miami to 16 points in the fourth quarter. They didn't need to do too much scoring. No one needed to do too much scoring. But all things considered, Tyus Jones, he was plus 8 overall in this game. I think this was a huge game in showing why this guy is the highest paid backup point guard in the NBA. His teammates lauded him. Dylan Brooks talked about how he loves playing with him. Brandon Clark brought up a conversation that he had, you know, earlier this season. I remember Tyus Jones telling me, he was like, hey, you know, Zaire Williams is out and Jaren Jackson Jr. are out. That means I'm going to have to, you know, be more aggressive as a scorer. Not only did he tell me that, he told his teammates that. Tyus told his teammates, he told Brandon Clark, you know, in particular, hey, look, I'm going to be more aggressive as a scorer. So on a game like Monday against the Heat, when 7 guys are down, you knew Tyus Jones was going to be aggressive. But it wasn't just with the scoring. It's 10 assists. You know, it's not just 10 assists. It's the one turnover. 10 assists to one turnover. This is a guy, we talk about it a lot. Best assist to turnover ratio in the NBA the last 4 seasons. Hasn't gotten off to the greatest of starts in that area because he's had to take on that higher load. And it's an adjustment for Tyus. It is an adjustment for him. Another player making a big adjustment this season is Santi Aldama, right? Aldama, 18 points, 10 rebounds. To secure the double-double in the win, and he was huge. He made 2 big three-pointers, 8 of 12 shooting, added a steal in this game, added a block. And I think Santi Aldama has some polish to him offensively. But I knew he was going to have a big night when early in the game the Grizzlies got him the ball inside, right? He's matched up inside. It's Jimmy Butler on him. Jimmy Butler is no scrub defensively by any means. But Santi Aldama is nearly 7 feet tall. And a lot of big men in those situations that aren't polished, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do fadeaways. They're going to do, you know, turnaround shots instead of, you know, just going over the top of the guy and say, hey, you're too little. You're too short. I'm just going to shoot over the top of you. Multiple occasions, Santi Aldama took his time in that matchup, got to his spot, and just shot it over the top of him. He did it against a couple smaller Miami Heat defenders as well. And this was big because you know anything about the Miami Heat lineup, Bam Adebayo is in the middle. But Jimmy Butler, Caleb Martin, Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry are the other 4 guys he's surrounded by. None of those guys are power forwards by any means. So Santi Aldama needed to have a big performance, and that he did. I think it was great seeing him, you know, perform to that level, and it was needed, quite frankly. Big scoring night for him as well. And it wasn't just those, you know, two guys. I think Dylan Brooks finished with 17 points as well. He did not have the prettiest of nights, by the way. Dylan Brooks shot 7 of 22 from the field, 2 of 11 on three-pointers, and minus 10, finished minus 10 in plus-minus ratio. So Dylan Brooks will be the first to tell you he shot horrible. He said it after the game to me as well. He said, shot horrible in this game. But overall, there was, you know, effectiveness throughout the Grizzlies lineup. But it was a couple rookies that really impressed me in this game. We're going to talk about those two guys coming up right here after a quick break. So it just wasn't the starting lineup. It was the bench, too. It was the bench, too. The Grizzlies just had a lot of effective performers in this game. But when I'm saying the bench, I'm not talking about your typical, you know, Brandon Clark performance. Yeah, he had 11 points and he was plus 10, but you expect that from Brandon Clark. I'm talking about these rookies, Kenny Chandler and Vince Williams Jr. Since we're talking about the rookies, we might as well throw David Roddy in there as well with his first career start. But a big night for the Grizzlies rookies. We mentioned Jake LaRavia didn't play, but let's focus on these other guys and what they brought to the table against the Miami Heat in this game. First guy we're going to talk about is David Roddy, right? First career start for him. Played 33 minutes, 37 seconds in this game. Didn't shoot great. 2 of 8 from the field overall. 0 of 3 on his three-pointers. But he did have 5 rebounds. He added 2 assists. He had 2 blocks. And he was plus 6 and plus the minus in those minutes. Why? Well, I thought, first of all, he had a tough assignment. Remember, David Roddy, I think it's what, 6'6", 240, 250 pounds. And it kind of was interesting watching. The Grizzlies had him chasing around Tyler Hero. If you know anything about how Tyler Hero plays, he's one of those guys who runs around a lot. And usually against those guys, you like to have your quicker, agile, long defenders. You know, think of a guy like a Zaire Williams to bother him with length and things like that. But I thought, you know, we would see David Roddy go against Jimmy Butler and maybe Dylan Brooks, you know, and his bigger, you know, more length, more size, chase Tyler Hero around. But the Grizzlies opted to go with Dylan Brooks against Jimmy Butler, you know, for obvious reasons. And they had David Roddy chasing around a small guard. And he was effective, you know, for the most of the part. So, again, first career start for David Roddy. I think overall he was effective in that role. Now on to the biggest rookie performance of the night, and that was Kennedy Chandler. As a guy who graduated from UT, I talked about it before the season when we were talking about possible draft picks for the Grizzlies. I thought this guy fit this team like a glove. The explosiveness at the point guard position, you know, he's tailor-made to push the pace the way Memphis likes to push the pace. The jumping ability. The hands he has defensively. We talked about how the Grizzlies led the NBA in steals last season. The hands this guy has, you know, as a defender, tailor-made for just the identity of this team. And this was the most extended playing time we've seen Kennedy Chandler get. And we saw why. He played 25 minutes, 44 seconds, basically 26 minutes of game time. Shot 4 of 11 from the field, 1 of 4 from three-pointers. But he had 9 points, 5 assists. Check this out. In those 26 minutes, a team high plus 18. Plus 18 in 26 minutes. The Grizzlies were 18 points better than the Miami Heat. Kennedy Chandler was a game changer in this game. An absolute game changer in this game. And not only that, we saw him and Tyus Jones play in the lineup together, and that lineup was effective. Again, he was one of those other guys who guarded Tyler Hero a lot. And this was a matchup that, you know, this was a matchup that was more of what I thought we would see when you talk about guarding Tyler Hero. Kennedy Chandler was quick. He was everywhere Tyler Hero went. There were a couple, you know, mental mistakes I noticed. I think Ken Chandler, and maybe it was just the Grizzlies, you know, defensive scheme at that point, but I can't imagine, you know, them saying, hey, let's go under screens against Tyler Hero. So you had a couple situations like that where Tyler Hero got free for some three-pointers and whatnot. But overall, Kenny Chandler's defensive tenacity, his ability to create for his teammate with the five assists, and, you know, he had 9 points, and he was a blur getting to the rim. This guy's going to be fun to watch as he, you know, just he learns to, you know, pick and choose, you know, playing with pace, playing with speed and things like that, getting to his spots, learning, you know, just the NBA game more and more. But Kennedy Chandler is a problem. I think, you know, he's tailor-made to get the reins of that backup point guard position. When you talk about, you know, Tyus Jones was given a two-year contract, 2 years, $30 million. This is the first season of that. Then next season, you know, you groom Kenny Chandler again, potentially give him a bigger role. And then that next season, that third season, when with Ja Morant being your starting point guard, you have a guy, Kenny Chandler, who's ready to step into the starting lineup in a pinch if Ja, you know, misses some time, and he's ready to be a high-quality backup point guard in the NBA. That plus 18 was no fluke. That was because he had his hands all over what's happening. I mentioned the two steal. How about a block as well? Kenny Chandler can get up if you didn't know. But overall, very effective game from him. And then there was Vince Williams. Vince Williams Jr., no, he didn't make a shot. 0 of 3 from the field in 14 minutes. Only had 2 rebounds. If you look at the raw stat sheet, you're saying, what did he do? He was, you know, didn't make a shot, didn't score a point, just had 2 rebounds. 0-2 on three-pointers. But let me tell you something. What that guy brings to the table defensively, you can't teach. Vince Williams Jr., there were just a couple moments, you know, where his length, his size, and you can see why the Grizzlies were interested in him. I think the three-pointer is one of the better parts of his game. He is a legit 3-and-D type of player. And over the course, you know, as he – you know, gets more playing time and figures out how to play at the NBA, I think we'll see, you know, that shape itself out. But defensively, he was impressive. One-on-one, he held his own. And then there was a situation I remember in particular. I think it was Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler was posting up a smaller Grizzlies player. Looked like he was going to get to an easy shot. And he turns over his right shoulder. As he turns over his right shoulder, Vince Williams just, this is some high IQ stuff, y'all. Vince Williams comes over there, puts 2 hands up. So as soon as Jimmy Butler turns, he's blocked, not only by the person he's guarded by at that point, but Vince Williams in his long 6'6 frame with the long arm. And Jimmy Butler tries to throw the ball to the open teammate that Vince Williams came to help off of, but he airmails the ball out of bounds because he couldn't see. And that was just a great example of, you know, what Vince Williams brought to the table. That was one of the 5 turnovers that the Grizzlies forced on Jimmy Butler that night. And Vince Williams Jr. was a big reason why. So pretty much defensively, I'm sold on what this guy brings to the table. Offensively, there's a whole bunch more you want to see, you know, in terms of what Vince Williams Jr. can do. You want to see if he can take the ball, you know, make some mid-range shots, some one-dribble pull-ups, go off the, you know, dribble. He missed the layup, you know, in this game where he kind of short-armed it, one I thought – you know, he probably should have made, you know, to give him, you know, a basket. But overall, I thought he was effective in his 14 minutes, and that was the most extended playing time that he's got as well. The one rookie who didn't play in this game, the one player who was active overall who didn't play, was Kenneth Lofton Jr. Again, you know, we've talked about it. The Grizzlies haven't played Kenneth Lofton Jr. as much as some people may have thought they would or have anticipated. Again, and they had a 9-man rotation. This was an opportunity for him to get, you know, minutes if he was to get minutes. But overall, the Grizzlies opted not to play Kenneth Lofton Jr. in this game. So we'll see, you know, how that develops over the course of the season and just what's next for him and, you know, just his role going forward on this team. Speaking of what's next for the Grizzlies, we're going to talk about previewing this next game against Shai. I keep saying Shai. I don't know why I always say that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder, they'll be coming to town. They'll be in Memphis in their next game. But thank you for making the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, your first listen. Now, for your next listen, I want you to check out Locked On Sports Today podcast. Remember, it's the biggest stories of the day. Plus, you get those instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. The Locked On Sports Today podcast is where you go check out the big things going on in the big stories going on around the NBA. Thank you again for tuning into today's episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Again, we're going to talk more about that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander matchup. John Morant will be back. Jaren Jackson Jr. will be back. The Grizzlies will have more bodies, so we'll see, you know, how they can kind of reconfigure some things. And again, we'll have more updates on the other guys who are not active in this game as well. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies once again. I am your host, DeMichael Cole. Make sure you continue to subscribe, rate, review, comment on what you like, what you don't like about the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, and we will continue to make everything better for you. Until next time, Locked On Grizzlies viewers, I'll see you again. DeMichael Cole signing out from Locked On Grizzlies.